Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Take this section of Scripture and title it as Great Commands and Warnings. There's many people that have preached from this very text from in the book of Deuteronomy, and they talk a lot about the curses. But when you get towards the end, then you start to say, well, in spite of all the curses, here are the areas of blessing. But we find ourselves right here in chapter 6 dealing with something that as believers, if you've spent any time in study, you should know about a man named Moses. And you should know the story about how the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt and how God dealt with Moses and Pharaoh and everyone else to allow the Israelites to be set free. If you know that whole story, or if you need to be refreshed on that story, here was Moses. Moses, who was a man who had sinned and had murdered someone. Moses, who ran and went into the wilderness. This same Moses was born into a crazy situation. The same Moses was born at a time where a decree was placed upon the whole land that anyone that was a child, a male child born, that they would be killed. But Moses was put in a little basket and went down the stream, and he was saved from all of that. We find here in Scripture that Moses has gone through everything that God has allowed him to see with the different curses and stuff upon Pharaoh and the land there in Egypt. Moses, the one who has stood and has raised the staff and the Red Sea parted and they walked across on dry land. Moses who had dealt with God's chosen people in the wilderness and going through their idolatry and their disbelief. This Moses that has been there from some 40 years to see a whole generation die off before the others would be able to go into the promised land. This Moses who was a believer in God, and even in spite of all the different things that he went through, was yet still an encourager. See, Moses' time was coming to an end. I'm unsure if at this particular time that this was written, whether Moses knew he would not go into the promised land or not. Because it doesn't say that until later on. We see in Numbers where he finds out, but I'm unsure of actually this particular time. But yet and still, what I do see is that Moses is an encourager. He's an encourager to the one that would now take over his mantle, Joshua, that was coming behind him. Moses was an encourager. And here we find in chapter 6, verses 20 through 23, Moses giving some encouragement. He's saying here, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God have commanded you?" He's dealing with a very simple question. A very simple question as a parent, I think, that we all go through. Our children simply ask, why? Why was it this way? Why did this happen that way? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why is it cold? Why is it hot? They simply ask why. If you've been a parent, you might have found yourself in this perpetual circle that keeps asking. As you would give one answer, they would simply say, why? And as you would give another answer, they would simply say, but why? Moses is saying here, when they ask this question about the Lord our God and why we do what we do and how we do what it is that we do, this is the answer that I want you to give. He says in verse 21, "Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. We were slaves in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. This is why we do what we do. It says here in verse 22, and the Lord showed great signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon his household before their eyes. This Lord that we serve, when we were slaves, brought us out of Egypt, and in bringing us out of Egypt, showed great wonders and signs. And verse 23 says, and he brought us from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Not only did God bring us out once we were slaves, not only did God use great wonders and signs, but God fulfilled the promise that he had made to our fathers, that there would be a place that we would have on our own. Not just a place, but a place specifically designed for us, that we would have every single thing that we need. If you are a believer, you must be an encourager. How important it is to encourage someone else. How important it is to just let somebody know just how good God has been to me. I was in a conversation with someone yesterday, and they were complaining about folk testifying. Not testifying, but testifying. They used as an example someone running out of gas, not having gas in their car. And the car shut off in the middle of the road and said that they tried it one more time and the car stood up. The car started up. And they were saying, oh, that was a testimony. I said, well, yes, I guess it could have been a testimony if they gave credit unto God. But it could just be that they didn't put no gas in the car. A testimony gives credit back to who's in charge. A testimony points back to God in everything that we do. Here, Moses is saying, look, point back to God. We are here simply because God allowed us to be here. Well, as a believer, if I'm supposed to be an encourager, how is it that I should encourage? I'm glad you asked. I was reading an article by Jay Hampton, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this last name right. I want to say Keithley. It's spelled K-E-A-T-H-L-E-Y. J. Hampton Keithley III. What was very unique about this article is that Keithley died January 29th of 2002. But the article that I was reading wasn't published until 2004. He was talking about encouragement, and he said, based upon what he had read in the Bible, this was his definition when he looked towards encouragement. He said, encouragement is finding or helping others to find the courage by God's grace and strength to run their race he has laid out before us, no matter how difficult or painful the course. As a believer, you have to be an encourager. You have to be willing to encourage somebody else in their low time, in their time when they're going through and don't feel like they can press on. As a believer, you should be the one to encourage somebody to say, look, in spite of what you're going through, it's going to be all right. In spite of what's happening and what it looks like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right when you point your situation back to the Lord. It won't be all right if you try to grasp it and handle it all on your own. But when you give credit where credit is due, and understand that no matter what it is that you're going through, God is yet still in control of it. You are to be the encourager to let somebody else know you can make it. Your road doesn't necessarily end right here. And even as a believer, if the Lord was to call me home, I'm still fulfilling my goal. Because as calling me home, Scripture tells me to be absent from this world is to simply be present with the Lord. Amen. I look back to the different examples that we have in the Bible. Jesus being the best encourager that there was. We can point to scripture where he talked and where he said things, but simply by living the life that he lived, the best encourager that there was. Faced with death, it's not about death, it's about everlasting life. That's what I'm worried about. See, I'm not worried about how it looks for everybody else, but I'm simply here to fulfill my Father's business. And if I do that, I know that everything else will be all right. Amen. When we sit here and we look at the different things that God has said, I've found that the best encouragement that we can have on this side of heaven is God's word. The best encouragement. But because somebody might be sitting there saying, well, yeah, I'm a believer, but I have problems encouraging somebody. What do you say to someone who has lost a child? How can I encourage them? What do you say to someone that has gotten a bad doctor's report and the doctor has thrown up their hands? What do you say? What do you say to a parent that's struggling to provide to put basic necessities there for their children? What is it that you say? I want to point out a few scriptures to you. Amen. I want you to turn over to the book of Romans. Amen. Romans. There's a couple of scriptures here in Romans that I want to go ahead and give you just in case you don't know what to say. If you got a pen and paper and might want to write these down for later, here are some words of encouragement. No matter what the situation is, no matter what's going on, here's a few scriptures of encouragement. Amen. Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. I'm going to go ahead and give verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to be encouraged? Go ahead and look at verse number 2. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed with the renewing of your mind. Simply saying, you know what? Stop looking at your situation the way that it is and start to look at it out of God's eyes. Because if God has allowed it to happen in your life, God wants to give you the very best that he has. And so if he has allowed a situation to happen in your life, it wasn't to tear you down, but it was actually to build you up. But if you was to change your mindset and to say, in spite of the fact that I'm going through, God's strengthening me for something else. Change your mind and you're looking at your situation and you'll be encouraged. You can use this same scripture to encourage somebody else. Amen. Romans. Let's stay in the same book and go over to Romans chapter 15. If you go over to Romans chapter 15, you'll find these words in verse number 4. It says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. It says, through the comfort, the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope. I don't care what your situation is. There's a scripture for it. There's a scripture for it. You just have to be willing to take the time to go look it up. There is nothing that's going to happen in your life that surprises God. Nothing. There's nothing that will occur that will catch him off guard. He already has the solution, no matter what goes on. I can find comfort in God's word. Amen. Joshua, let's go over to the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. When you get there, I want you to go to the very first chapter. Joshua. Remember who I said Joshua was? Joshua was the one that was then to take the mantle after Moses. And in the very first chapter, it says here in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If I meditate on his word day and night, if I do my best to be obedient to his scriptures. It says here, according to the all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Who shall make thy way? You shall make your way. You shall make your way prosperous, and then shall have good success. There's a scripture of encouragement right there. A scripture of encouragement that points directly back to the individual. Oh, I'm going through and oh, it's hurting. What are you doing about what you got going on? Are you spending time in God's word? Are you meditating on what the Lord is trying to say to you, that you'd be able to get the answers to your situation, that you would be able to make your own way prosperous, that through your obedience, you would have good success? As a believer, you must be an encourager. Amen. Last scripture I want to give you in the book of Hebrews, back over to the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, we're going to be in the 13th chapter. 13th chapter. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6 of the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse 5 and verse 6. If you were to take verse 5 and break it down into an A and B, it really starts at the B part of verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If you are a believer, you must be an encourager. Amen. You must be an encourager. It says here in these scriptures, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter where you go, no matter how bad it gets, I want you to know that you're never alone. Not only are you never alone, it says that so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So no matter how bad they talk about you, no matter how bad you get stabbed in the back, no matter how many times someone tries to rip the rug up from under your feet, yet and still you're not alone. Even when we fall, God is still there. Even when we struggle to get back up, God is still there. He is my helper, no matter what it is that I'm going through. As a believer, we must be encouragers. I want to share with you that as a believer, it has been one of the best things for me to encourage somebody else. Because in the process of encouraging somebody else, God turns around and encourages me. I've found that in my lowest moments and that in my weakest moments, when I'm able to actually speak into somebody else's life, what a wonderful thing it is for me to actually listen to what the Lord is saying. Because the very thing that I'm saying to that individual ends up being the thing that encourages me. As a believer, you must be an encourager. Not just for the fact of encouraging somebody else, but for the fact of being able to encourage yourself. If we look at the Bible, we'll see where Jesus was the ultimate encourager. But even in his fact of him encouraging everybody else, although he was God, he was still man. He was still flesh. If you hit him, he bruised. If you cut him, he bled. And so if he was talked about, he felt bad too. And so in the place of encouraging other folk, he was yet still encouraging himself. How many times have you been in a place where you've spoken to somebody else's life? Where they were in a low moment, they were going through something, and you were there to encourage them. You were there to let them know to not give up. You were there to let them know to not throw in the towel. I know it might look bad, but you can make it through whatever it is that you're going through right now. You might not have received the encouragement right then, but then let a little time pass. And that person didn't throw in the towel. And that person didn't give up. And now they're now on the other side of their situation. And to where they were now dealing with lack, now they're dealing with abundance. And it's a wonderful thing for that person to be able to come back and say, you know, I was in one of my lowest moments. And in the place of being in one of my lowest moments, I remember God speaking through you to be able to speak to me. And now I'm on the other side. I don't know about you, but if you've never experienced anybody else being able to talk about the encouragement that you once gave them to see that they're now in a better place, that's one of the best things that there is. To hear somebody else say, my marriage was falling apart, but God spoke through you to speak to me, and now we're in a better place. My relationship with my child was deteriorating. It was falling apart. But God spoke through you to speak to me, and now me and my child are best friends. I don't know if you've ever experienced someone that's dealing with job loss, unemployment, not knowing how they were going to pay their next bill, but yet God spoke through you to be able to speak to somebody else. And now they say, I was once working here, not knowing how it was going to work out, but God has blessed me with a better job, and so now I'm in a better place. I thank you for being able to speak into my life. As a believer, you must be an encourager. As the church, here we are. God has connected so many people to you. You must be an encourager for them. Whether it be through you opening your mouth, whether it be through your actions, you must be an encourager. Moses, God bless you. Moses had gone through dealing with Pharaoh. Moses had gone through the persecution. Moses had dealt with being in the wilderness. Moses had seen folk die off. Moses had seen the very God that had delivered you. Now you had started to idol worship. Moses had seen all of these different things. Moses, because of his own disobedience, was not able to go into the promised land. Yet and still, he was an encourager to the man that was coming behind him. Yet and still, he was an encourager to the people that didn't want to hear what the Lord had to say. Paul was imprisoned. And even in his imprisonment, he wrote letters of encouragement. Those same letters we read today. Those same letters we have in Scripture today. If you are a believer, you must be an encourager. There's someone waiting on you being willing to open your mouth. You might say, I don't know what to say. Well, guess what? I don't know what to say either. There's a lot of times I have no idea what to say. My wife is right there. She can tell you there's a lot of times folk call and say, Pastor, I got a situation going on. I need you to help me. I don't know how to help you. All I can give you is what I got. And what I got is the word. And so I'll sit there and I'll say a prayer and I'll jump in the car or I'll be on the phone or whatever it is. Lord, I'm willing to be the vessel. Use me however you see fit. I'm going to open my mouth, but I need you to speak. Because I don't know what to say. I don't know the person. I can't tell you how many hairs they have on their head. I can't tell you about them from head to toe. I don't know their situation. I wasn't there when you spoke life into them. I wasn't there when God, you know them. But I'm willing to be the encourager. Today, let that be your personal decision. As a believer, be willing to be an encourager to someone else. Could you imagine your willingness to be an encourager to everyone that God places in your path? Could you imagine that your whole family, that all of your co-workers, that even strangers would be encouraged just based upon how God is using you? Do you see how powerful you are in just being who you are? That God would use you to be an encourager? to be an encourager to the person standing in line, the stranger that's standing in line in a grocery store? To be an encourager to your co-workers? To be an encourager to your family members? Imagine just how abundant life would be. Imagine just how wonderful life would be. If everyone, instead of trying to talk up down on somebody when they're going through, would actually be there to try to lift somebody up. When a person is down on the ground, is it hard to step on them? When a person is down on the ground, is it hard to step over them? It takes work to lift them up. Well, I don't have the strength to lift them up. That's all right. It's not dependent upon your strength. It's dependent upon the strength of the Lord. Your words don't change somebody's heart. God's word does. You don't have the ability to make anybody do anything. God has the ability to prick someone's heart. God has the ability to change somebody. And when the enemy starts to speak in your ear and to tell you that you're unworthy, he's right. We are all unworthy by ourselves. But when you take our unworthiness and you couple it up with the Lord, we're more than able to be whatever it is God has created us to be during that time and that moment. And so I want to encourage everyone listening today that you are an encourager. And there's somebody in your life that's waiting for you to encourage them. Be the encourager God has created you to be. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord.